Joe's New York Pizza for lasagna with the sauce.
It's the Mickey Plyler Show.
Sweet Caesar's ghost.
Here's your host.
You dig it the most.
On WCCP.
105.5 The Roar.
Vacation's great. Sugar Bowl is great. New Orleans is great, but they don't have an engineer sleep bed, and I do, and that's why I love getting back to the homestead and crawling in my engineer sleep bed. Get a custom-made, custom-designed bed, but don't pay custom prices for it. Go to our great friends at Engineered Sleep and engineeredsleep.com. They're in Greenville. If you hadn't done this, do a lot of my friends doing, a lot of our listeners are doing. Keep sending me your texts and tweets about it, folks, because you know it. It's Engineered Sleep. It is an absolutely fantastic buy and one of the best things we've ever done, getting a mattress made specifically for you and doing it at a very fair price. EngineerSleep.com, Congaree Road over in Greenville. Let's get to our guest lines, and I will start out by saying two things. A, Happy New Year, Tony Morrell, and B, thanks for moving back a day for us. How you doing this morning?
Same to you. I'm doing well, Mickey. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Looking forward to 2018. 2017, Gamecocks went 9 wins on the season, and I'll start out by asking on the Michigan game, the 26-19 win. What was the difference in the Gamecocks or the differences in the game in the first 40 minutes where you're down 19-3 and the last 20 minutes where you're out scoring 23-0?
Well, you know, they found some offense. You know, for the first almost three quarters, it was pretty ugly offensively, and I think a lot of it centered around their issues in pass protection, and just, you know, Jake, there were so many plays early in the game, earlier in the game, where Jake Bentley just had no chance because the line just couldn't seem to protect, and there were guys running free on so many plays that were literally, you know, getting to him untouched, and it just was, you know, part of it was, you know, I think Michigan's defensive line is really good. And I think their defensive staff did a good job of scheming and coming up with ways to attack South Carolina's plays. But also South Carolina just, you know, their offensive line and pass protection in general was really struggling. And then all of a sudden they found a little bit of momentum offensively and got the drive where Rico Dallas scored on the option. And then it just seemed like they flipped the switch. All of a sudden Bentley had the time he needed, and they got the running game going to a certain degree, and, you know, I think Dowdle really gave him a nice spark. He really wasn't supposed to play in the game until the day before when they tested him, and he came off the bench and gave him a nice spark, and then once they got the momentum, they rode it to the win.
Obviously, there's some things you do different. There's adjustments all throughout games. Play calling, I thought the lead option was a great play call and all that. But how much of that in your mind or the factor, or how big was it that Dowdle just gives you like an emotional lift knowing that you got your best running back back?
Well, it definitely helped. You know, he played a little bit in the first half and didn't do much. And then, you know, they went back to A.J. Turner and got Tyson Williams in there some. And they just really had nothing going, really running or throwing it, and then they went back to Dowdle in the second half, and he had a couple of nice runs early in that drive, and then the scoring run, and then it just seemed like everyone on offense started to feed off of that, and then because the defense did everything they could to keep them in the game, and, you know, for a stretch when they really probably shouldn't have still been in it, and, you know, the defense was really the only bright spot for the, you know, the first two and a half quarters. Because their special teams were atrocious in the first half as well. And then, you know, once the defense saw that the offense had finally showed up and was ready to give them some help, I think that gave them a second wind as well, and they made the most of it.
Speaking of defense, you forced 5 turnovers, and they were at crucial places. I think 3 of the 5 might have been deep in South Carolina territory. One was at the and you took advantage of it by scoring soon afterwards. Was the fumble deep in their own or fairly deep in their own territory at the 23-yard line? But the Gamecocks took advantage of it. Give us an idea of the momentum and how things switched. Just again, emotionally, from all 5 of the Michigan turnovers.
Yeah, you know, the defense's ability to keep Michigan out of the end zone on some of those drives when it looked like Michigan was in complete control of the game and on the verge of blowing it open. And they kept them out of the end zone. They forced the turnover. And even though the offense didn't do anything on that particular drive after that turnover, just keeping them out of the end zone at that point and then holding them to a field goal the next time Michigan got the ball to make it 19-3, I think kept South Carolina in the game. Had they scored a couple of touchdowns there, I mean, I don't think there was any way South Carolina would have come back. So, it was interesting that Travaris Robinson, told the ESPN guys before the game that he wanted to break the Outback Bowl record of the number of turnovers in the game, which was 5, and they ended up tying it. And, with 4 of those, I think, coming in the fourth quarter. So, the turnovers were huge and played a big role in South Carolina being able to win the game. And then also the turnover in the fourth quarter with Jamarcus King picking it off in the end zone was obviously huge as well, with Michigan driving to retake the lead. They pick it off in the end zone, and I thought that was a backbreaker.
Jake Bentley, 19 of 32, 239 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Didn't do a whole lot in the running game, but the most valuable player, get a nice win, I should say, on that one. Your thoughts about Bentley and how he performed?
Well, much like the offense, he really was ugly for the first 2.5 quarters, but, it was hard to put too much of it on Bentley's shoulders because the pass protection was just so bad. And he would drop back and have no time and no shot to make anything happen. But once the pass protection was there, I thought he threw the ball well. And, the first touchdown pass to Brian Edwards was a beautiful throw over one defender and in front of the other. And Edwards made a heck of a catch on it as well. The pass to Shai Smith for the touchdown was, in stride, perfectly thrown, perfectly timed. And he really looked good throwing the deep ball. And he looked good throwing the ball on the run. But when protection was breaking down in the pocket, it was ugly. But like I said, I don't want to put too much of that on his shoulders, the blame on him, because it just was, Michigan was dominating South Carolina's offensive front there for the first 2.5 quarters or so.
All right. One of the biggest questions coming out of it, Brian McClendon, it was his one shot at proving things. Did he do enough? The thoughts about the offensive coordinator's job, would he stay if he's not getting it? Kind of run us down. Well, Will Muschamp, the decisions he has to make and some of the factors to consider and really what you could see happening with the offensive coordinator position.
Yeah, I think there's a lot for him to consider. It wasn't just the game itself that was the audition for McClendon. It was the entire bowl prep, almost a month of work. Muschamp wanted to see how the players responded to McClendon, how the other coaches responded to McClendon, how he handled himself in offensive meetings, how he game planned, how he, called plays in the game. All those type things were a big part of the decision Muschamp has to make. And the other thing he has to consider is McClendon's recruiting ability and how valuable he is to the staff as a whole. And if he doesn't name him the offensive coordinator and he loses him, who does he replace him with and how is that going to impact the program overall? So it's a huge decision that Muschamp has to make, and I don't think it's one he ever really dreamed he'd be making under these circumstances. I think when he hired McClendon and Kurt Roper, the scenario he had in his mind was that Roper would succeed, go on to get a head coaching job, and then McClendon could be the next guy in line. But it's a different scenario when Roper fails and you have to fire him, and then you have to make the decision on whether to turn it over to Muschamp or hire a guy from outside. So, I'll tell you, I've talked to a lot of people inside the program, both before and after the bowl game, and nobody knows what Muschamp's going to do on this one. It's something he's keeping very tight-lipped. I know he's talked to several people that he respects in the coaching business to get their advice on offensive coordinator recommendations, scheme recommendations, all that kind of stuff. And has spoken to multiple outside candidates, but is also seriously considered, considering McClendon. So we'll just have to see how he decides to handle it all. But if McClendon is passed over, I think it's going to be tough to hold on to him. Tennessee's offered him a salary, I've heard, in the $750,000 range. He currently makes $500,000 at South Carolina. So, you know, and I don't think it'll be about money, though. I think South Carolina will match the offer to keep him if he's not the coordinator. But I don't know that McClendon would accept it. I think he would feel like he probably you didn't have upper mobility any longer at South Carolina and might have a better chance of accomplishing his coaching goals elsewhere. But I do know Muschamp wants to keep him one way or the other. It's just a matter of whether he can.
Time frame wise, all this has got to be working, I would think, fairly quickly. You got recruiting coming up, certainly, but also McClendon trying to decide what he wants to do and other jobs that are opening up. He can't force Muschamp's hand, but what kind of time frame are we looking at?
Yeah, I would think it's going to be a decision that's made either this week or early next. Area where Muschamp didn't want to rush anything in the emotions right after winning the Outback Bowl. I think he wanted to take a few days and, consider every angle, talk to every coach that he wants to speak with, and then make the decision on which direction he wants to go in. But I'm with you. I would think that with the coaches going back out on the road and McClendon wanting to know his future, I would think it wouldn't surprise me if it happened this week or early next.
I asked you this before, and I remember the answer, but I want to ask you again, after watching McClendon and watching the pace of the offense go a little bit faster and really what you think about McClendon and kind of consider his candidacy, but Will Muschamp, knowing what he wants to be, his identity, do we have a better idea now after the bowl game of seeing it, maybe Muschamp's offensive philosophy and maybe what he'd want out of the next coordinator?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what he wants to do. You know, the up-tempo really never started clicking against Michigan, but I think you saw a glimpse of what Muschamp wants to do and a glimpse of what McClendon would do if he was the offensive coordinator. Now, obviously, he didn't have time to completely implement a new scheme and do everything that he wanted to do in the short amount of time you have to prepare for a bowl. You saw different formations, you saw some different plays, you saw a different tempo, and I think if he was named the coordinator, there would be a lot of additions to that they begin implementing in the spring. But I do think Muschamp wants to go up tempo, and I think that's what he wanted to do under Roper, and I think there were multiple reasons why it never materialized. Part of it was their lack of depth defensively. And just how bad they were offensively early in Roper's tenure from a personnel standpoint, particularly before Jake Bentley took over as quarterback. I think they felt like they would just be hurrying up to give the ball back to the opposing offense. But I think as they build their defense and get more confident with what they're doing on that side of the ball, they do want to go up tempo at times and try to take advantage of what that gives an offense when it's executing and the pressure it puts on the opposing defense.
Tony Morrell's our guest, thebigspur.com. We're talking about the offensive coordinator's job at South Carolina. Since we last talked, candidates strengthening candidacy or anybody falling off the board, any of the outside candidates that we know more or less about at this point?
Starting to hear more that Drinkwitz is likely to stay at NC State, and I don't know that he's been offered a job at South Carolina, so it could be a scenario where he's staying without another offer. I don't know for sure if Muschamp has formally offered the job to anybody at this point. And I'd love to give you a breaking scoop here on the air, but I don't know for sure, how he's handled it behind the scenes or how he's going to handle it here in the next couple of days. So Dan Werner is a guy that I know he's had multiple conversations with. He's a former offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, he's currently a defensive analyst at Alabama. I spoke to him initially about the coordinator's job, and then I know they spoke again, and he gauged his interest in potentially being a position coach only. Kendall Briles' name has been thrown out there, but it's not something that has come from someone close enough to the situation for me to report it as fact that he's definitely in the mix. But, Lane Kiffin didn't show up at one of South Carolina's bowl practices and gave Muschamp his opinion on what he needs to look for in an offensive coordinator, and I think that's part of what drove that speculation on Briles. But maybe he is in the mix. I'm not 100% sure.
correct me if I'm wrong here, just numbers-wise, though, just thinking about it, if you keep McClendon as the coordinator, you're going to have another offensive guy to hire, and then also a 10th assistant. So we're going to be talking about two different assistant coaches. Do we know anything about the 10th assistant, like what Muschamp wants to do with that, what position that might be?
I think the 10th assistant will be a defensive coach, and the guy to keep an eye on, I think, there is Kyle Krantz, who is a defensive analyst at South Carolina right now. He was with Muschamp at Florida and has been with him since he arrived at South Carolina and has been, you know, the kind of guy that's the first in the building and the last to leave and has put in the work the old-fashioned way to earn his opportunity. And I know he has a lot of internal support and has the respect of Muschamp, and it wouldn't surprise me if he ended up getting the promotion from analyst to on-the-field position.
And then finally, I get this all the time. I know you get it all the time, but I wanted you to verbalize it because I don't know. You do a great job of it. How many more will South Carolina sign in this on signing day coming up? Because the number's a little bit different. Muschamp kind of made a statement about numbers wise, but how many more scholarships are available for him to sign on the next signing day?
Well, there's four guys who are committed to him that didn't sign. Marlon Character, Bryce Thompson, Lamarius Benson, and Ronnie Jameson. And, you know, I think as long as Bryce Thompson stays on track, I believe he will be a part of this class. The other three are much more up in the air, and at this point I would say Character and Jameson are unlikely to be a part of the class because of their first semester grades and how far behind they've gotten themselves academically. And Benson could go either way. But theoretically, if Thompson signs with South Carolina, the other three don't, you know, that would leave them, I believe, with three or four more spots. I don't have the list in front of me, but there's going to be 25 players that count against this class, but that includes Tyson Williams, who obviously is already on the team, and Tyreek Johnson, who gray-shirted last year. So it'll technically be 24 newcomers, including Johnson. And Johnson actually is with the team now, practice for the bowl. So 23 in addition to Johnson and Williams, if that helps. I don't know if that may have muddied the waters even more.
But. No, it does. I wanted you to verbalize it rather than me trying to, because I'll mess up on that too. And the main thing you got to realize is not everybody who's committed, you know, there's a possibility they're not signing them. So I'm glad you said that and cleared that up. Final one for you. As far as the dates go, is there a date they'll bring in more guys? Is there really, with so few scholarships available, I can't see any huge recruiting weekends coming up, are there?
No, it's not going to be like typical. I mean, they still have some of their commitments who haven't taken their official visits, but not many. Most of them have. All of their early enrollees obviously did, and then there was a few that did not. But it looks like that middle of the month is probably going to be the one that has the most visitors, and then could be a few that come in as the month goes on closer to signing day, depending on whether there's attrition or additional flexibility for the staff numbers wise, but right now I'm not expecting it to be a very busy month in terms of official visits.
I want to talk later in the month and later in what this team needs to do to move forward and continue to progress under Muschamp. We'll do that in the next couple of weeks and then get ready for spring, obviously. Tell us about the website, though. What's on board? Because there's still a lot of things to do. I know a lot of fans would do like I do and love to keep up the Gamecocks on thebigspur.com.
Yeah, absolutely. While I don't expect January to be a super busy month from an official visit standpoint, I do expect there to be a lot of recruiting information, both on the 2018 class as well as new 2019 and 2020 offers, and just, you know, the staff really gets ahead of the game and does things a lot differently than the previous staff. So we do anticipate a lot of recruiting scoop throughout the month. Winter workouts are going to be here before we know it, and we'll have scoop on that as we get it, and then before you know it, spring practice will start. Muschamp likes to get started early on spring practice. They haven't announced the dates yet, but last year they started early March, and I would expect them to do the same thing this year. So, like we always have said on the air, it's a year-round deal now, and always a lot of great content on the site. So just go to thebigspur.com and you can become a member today if you're not already.
As usual, we always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you. And let's talk next week about moving forward and some of the steps that will happen here around the program. Tony, thanks again for moving back for us, and we'll look forward to visiting with you on next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Biggie.
All right, buddy. Friend Tony Morrell of TheBigSpur.com. Just got a note from Russell Patterson, who just sent me a text talking about your taxes. Remember, I talked about Patterson taxes earlier. They can do $1,500 advances this year on refunds. And still waiting on the start date from the IRS. The IRS sets that every single year. But whenever you do file those taxes on the first day, they can do advances of up to $1,500 on those refunds. So not a lot, of you out there need those and have to have those and counting on those. 859-8289. We'll take a break, and I'll tell you much more about that in the next few weeks as well. Take a break. We'll come back. It's the Mickey Paula Show. Open phone lines and text and tweets. I'll try to get some Twitter stuff for your tweeters out there when you come back after this.
Does your credit need help? Call Masters Credit Consultants today to repair, rebuild, and restore your credit. It's easy. Just call or go online and get a free consultation to determine the best solution for your credit needs. Masters Credit is locally owned, and their certified credit specialists will analyze your credit file and get you on a path to a new and improved credit score. Call Masters Credit today at 864-249-9466 or online at masterscredit.com.
This weekend, it's the Great American Gun Show at the Anderson Civic Center. Buy, sell, trade. Guns, knives, weapons of all kinds. Bring your guns. Tell your friends. This weekend, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. Guns, knives, ammo, holsters, camo, and shooting supplies. Admission $8. Kids 12 and under free with paid adult. Don't miss this gun and knife show at the Anderson Civic Center. 3027 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Anderson. Tell your friends to bring their guns. This weekend, be there.
William Nichols here from Scores Jewelers in Anderson. If you know us here at Scores, you know that we don't have store-wide sales very often. Actually, only once in the last 3 years. But I have decided to close our current showroom and liquidate our entire inventory in order to build a brand new store that we will move into early this spring. So now, save up to 70% off during our huge store closing and moving sale here at Scores. Save 20 to 70% off engagement rings, colored stone jewelry, watches, and even Pandora. Every item must be sold to make room for new designers and new lines that we will have in our new location. But for now, come get to know us and take advantage of what we believe may be the lowest prices offered in the upstate. Save up to 70% off during our huge store closing and moving sale here at Scores Jewelers in Anderson. I'm William Nichols, and I want to be your jeweler.
Scores Jewelers, between Old Navy and Pier 1 Imports, Anderson.
Not all beef jerky is created equal. At the Greenville Jerky Company, we call our beef jerky pasture to pouch because we start with Carolina grass-fed beef, hand-cut the old-fashioned way, and then marinated using local, all-natural ingredients. No nitrates, no preservatives, and no junk you can't pronounce. At the Greenville Jerky Company, we make jerky every week to guarantee you the freshest, all-natural, grass-fed beef jerky. Stop by our store in downtown Greenville and sample one of our 9 amazing flavors. And look for us in better breweries and bottle shops.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. And remember, raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Call Anderson and Spartanburg Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
You know Joe's New York Pizza is all about the sauce because I've told you so. Here's the thing, people. They have outrageous wings as well. They're not fried. And if you're up to the task, you can even get them with Cajun Asian sauce. Their meatballs and marinara come with their famous garlic knots. And remember, if you have certain food allergies, Joe's offers gluten-free. Joe's has delivery, and they're great for fundraisers. And the Clemson location caters with 2 locations in Seneca and Clemson. Joe's New York Pizza.
Ready SC, in cooperation with Michelin, is seeking production operators for positions at their facilities in Anderson. To apply, visit readysc.org/Michelin. Production operators must be 18 years of age and able to work in an empowered, quality-driven environment in 12-hour rotating shift schedules. Manufacturing experience preferred but not required. Other conditions apply. Applications will be taken at readysc.org/Michelin. Michelin is an equal opportunity employer.
Plyler Show is on the air.
Didn't we already talk about this?
105.5 The Roar. Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Is that a new rejoin? I hadn't heard all the Prince of Darkness. I will admit this. I watch his show, him and his son's show. Do you watch it?
Nope.
I just started watching it. It's actually, like, pretty good. Like, him and his son do this, they're a pretty good deal, I think. It's like a traveling show. They go around all over the country and travel kind of stuff. Anyway, kind of a good deal there. It's not bad, though. Anyway, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. We have open phone lines in this segment. We'd love to hear from you. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. On Twitter, at Mickey Plyler, at Mr. Orr24. Let me get to our Twitter stuff for today. Georgia Greg writes in, here's a discussion topic. If you look at the national championship game, the defensive staff for each unit, Pruitt, Smart, and Tucker, will have firsthand knowledge of every junior and senior for the opposing defense's team because they coach on opposite sides. That's exactly right. Think about that. Pruitt was at Georgia, and Smart was at Alabama. Now, that's very interesting. I hadn't thought about that part of it. I watched Mel Tucker for what little bit, and you can't just take a snapshot of it, but they're in a huddle, huddling up around before the on a goal line stand kind of deal, and Tucker sat there while Kirby Smart coached the defense, and I thought it was the other way around. I thought Smart was delegating and that Tucker was the main guy. Remember, Tucker almost got the Tennessee job too, but it looked like to me that Smart, and again, I don't watch enough Georgia football, hadn't seen enough of it, we'll see, but I thought that was a little bit different one, there. John writes in, I just got your joke, Mr. Orr. You must not like the feeling of being tingly inside of growing your beard. Good one. Yeah, that's probably a good one, I thought. How bad does she hate it?
Nah, she doesn't hate that much.
Yeah. Does she run her fingers through it?
She does.
Yeah, okay. Seabrooks said, add in Jake Fromm's high school stats if you can. You know what? I think we can do that for you, brother. Let's see what Jake from State Fromm says here. Jake Fromm, high school stats, huh? Jake Fromm's a really, really good football player. And he's got a little it factor to him. Also, too, he has a ton of great players around him that helps. All right, Fromm, 12,745 yards. So he had about 1,000 less yards than Deshaun and about 1,200 yards less yards than Lawrence. He threw 116 passes rather than 161, so that's less, and then 25 interceptions, which is a little bit, it's four more than Lawrence had. He rushed for just 594 yards, so right around, Lawrence actually rushed a little bit more, so Lawrence had better numbers altogether than Jake Fromm had. Fromm's had a really, really, really good freshman season, obviously playing the national championship game. Kelly Grammett made a point earlier about the SEC championship game when we thought it might have been Alabama and Georgia, where she said Nick Saban eats freshman quarterbacks for lunch. But with only a week to prepare, I'm not sure that's as big a deal as we might have thought in thinking about that. Todd writes in at Mickey Pollard, at Mr. Orr24 on Twitter. I may have missed it, but why did we see so little of Tavion Feaster in the game? Well, he wasn't effective. I'm going to tick Mr. Orr24 off right here. You mad at me yet?
No.
You might be in a minute. Tavion Feaster, I think, needs to lose weight.
I agree with that.
I don't think he had a couple of big runs and a nice touchdown against Louisville on a Virginia Tech on a nice long pass play. I don't think he has the burst, and I don't think he has the acceleration that he had before the injury. I'm not sure he's a great natural running back of setting up blocks and seeing the holes. On the season, 107 carries, 669 yards, and 7 touchdowns. 220 pounds, he doesn't look right carrying it. He doesn't have the burst. And he had, against NC State, 7 carries for 105 yards, but 89 of that was on one run. Had the 60-yard touchdown against Virginia Tech. We told you that. But besides that, had 47-yard run against Kent State. Had the 61-yard run against the Citadel. And besides that, didn't have another run over 37 yards the entire year. Had 37-yard touchdown run against Syracuse. Didn't touch it a whole lot. Again, only carried it 107 times. But just didn't have burst and acceleration. He's not, like I said before, too, he's just not this altogether this great instincts at running back either. But I think he needs to lose a little bit of weight in order to have that burst and to have that acceleration. I think that's probably the number one thing looking forward to there. Folks, Zero Res has a great deal going for you right now. How about this unbelievable offer? Zero Res, $109. You heard me right. $109 gets you three rooms and a free hallway when you mention my name, Mickey. And powered water, all the great things that you're looking for when you're coming for no harsh chemicals, no harsh soaps, no harsh detergents. You get that fourth room. I mean, that hallway done for free now. Three rooms, $109. What a great deal from Zero Res. It is the right way to clean. Spell it forwards or backwards. It is Zero Res. Don't forget to ask about their air duct cleaning specials. That number, 558-7300. 558-7300. You want it done quicker. You want it done with the carpets drying faster with no harsh soaps, chemicals, or detergents. Think about our great friends over at Zero Res in Greenville. Telephone number 654-ROAR, 654-7627. We got to all of our Twitter today. We need to start doing a little more Twitter and rewarding some of our Twitter people to do that. The text line is up and running, and we've got a lot of guys here on the text line talking about that. Here's one that wants to know the teams that have the best chance to go to the playoffs again next year. Let me say this. I think Alabama is going to go to the playoffs next year. If you look at, and again, they've got a lot to return, don't know who's coming back. I don't think Alabama's still settled on quarterbacks for next year because I think Tua can come in and play a little bit. With that said, Alabama's schedule is so doable. Zach and I went over this the other day. Who's going to beat Alabama? Who's on that 2018 schedule? There's nobody on it that you'll say can stand toe-to-toe with Alabama next year. So I think you can see Alabama back in the playoffs. Let me give you the schedule again. We talked about this. You tell me in your own mind as you listen driving down the road or on the way to work here. Louisville and Orlando, they're not going to beat without Lamar Jackson and all that. First of all, what happened to Louisville in their bowl game? How about that just falling apart? Arkansas State at home at Ole Miss is going to be down. Texas A&M in Tuscaloosa. Louisiana Lafayette at Arkansas. Morrison hadn't had time to build it yet. Missouri can't beat them. At Tennessee, they're not ready. At LSU, maybe one. Mississippi State at home, Citadel, and then Auburn at home. SEC championship game. They're good. And wrap that up right now. I'm telling you that Alabama's going back. I think that Georgia, Swift's going to be fine. And I don't know if Zamir White will be back in time. Maybe so. But Georgia's running game will be fine. Fromm's going to be good. A lot's going to depend on replacing some of these big-time seniors like Carter and Bellamy, and if Trenton Thompson leaves early. I think the defense might take a step backwards, but Georgia's going to be the best team in the East by far next year. So can you beat Alabama in the SEC championship game? You won this year. You got in the playoffs this year because you beat Auburn in the SEC championship game. I don't think Oklahoma post-Baker Mayfield. Kyler Murray, is there going to be the quarterback next year? I don't count on Oklahoma being back. Clemson getting back? Yeah, I feel very good about Clemson getting back next year. We'll look at their schedule. Well, who can beat them and what their schedule looks like. I think Clemson has it. And it will depend on the juniors, but I think Clemson has a great chance to do it. Ohio State is a team to look out for. I think that they're certainly in that mix. Miami might be one to look for. If Darnold comes back, I think Southern Cal could be one to look for.
I think a team like Penn State takes a big step back next year.
Yeah, Barkley going and
McSorley leaves as well.
McSorley, yeah. So they could go back. There's, you know, who knows what's going to come. I think Texas makes a step forward, but not ready for playoffs yet. But I think you're talking about basically the same cast of characters that will be in that. You know, Wisconsin brings back an awful lot next year, so you know maybe Wisconsin gets in there. Auburn, you know, can be in that picture. I think a little bit next year. So all the same cast of characters, kind of getting up and doing that.
UCF?
I tell you, UCF's quarterback comes back. He's good. He's good. It's time to start thinking about what you can do, and it's time to start thinking about more than four maybe and including these guys. I think that UCF's year this year, the way they played against Auburn, I have no problem with thinking about UCF getting into the playoffs. Next year, or moving forward, change the playoffs to 8 to get a UCF kind of team in there. No problem with that at all. Breaking news in college football: Bill Steiner's coming back for 2018.
Didn't we know that like weeks ago?
He does this all the time, where he is, he isn't, he is, he isn't. But right now, according to some reports out there, he is coming back for sure. Now he was after the game the other day, he was kind of undecided, but now he's coming back.
I'm really excited for him.
You know, he's a great coach, but Kansas State's not a factor on the national scene and really hadn't been for the most part, but not this year and not moving forward. That really won't happen with Steiner coming back.
He's a good coach for Kansas State.
Right. Very good coach for Kansas State.
For Kansas State.
No doubt about that. No doubt. Let me do this, folks. Let me tell you about our great friends at Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com for our Palmetto Golf Report. Here's the great thing about Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com. We talk about golf, and I told you this on yesterday's show. Sometimes you talk about the affordability of golf. How about 40% off of your golf right now? 40% off your tee times for the entire month of January. What a great deal. Go to Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com to find out about that. What you do is when you enter online, put in the promo code SUPER18. No spaces, no caps in this. SUPER18 at PalmettoDunes.com at the checkout. Now, this goes all the way through the entire month of January. Get 40% off of your tee times right now. So that is a great deal. Can't be combined with any other offer out there, and doesn't exist with any, or doesn't apply to any existing reservations. But new reservations, you're getting them right now, getting new tee times right now. 40% off, you can't beat that. On our Palmetto Golf Report, the PGA Tour is back this week. Great news. The Century Tournament of Champions out at Kapalua will take place starting tomorrow, and we have four local players that are playing in the Tournament of Champions, four guys that won last year. Wesley Bryan goes tomorrow at 11 o'clock, their local time. Kyle Stanley at 11:40, Kevin Kisner at 12:10, and Dustin Johnson at 12:40. So great news there, and I can tell you, I'm pretty sure I can tell you this, that among the best news about the next two PGA Tour events is primetime golf. So I love primetime golf because you can watch it, you know, obviously at night when nothing else is on with crappy primetime television. So we get to see a little primetime golf from Hawaii. So that's great news there. And when you see Hawaii, you see the great resorts. Well, think about Palmetto Dunes and PalmettoDunes.com. Super18 is your promo code. Enter it at checkout and get 40% off your savings for the beautiful oceanfront course and oceanfront resort and the nice golf courses there, the three great golf courses there at PalmettoDunes.com. We'll take our final break. We'll come back, wrap things up in the final segment of the show right after this.
Join Walt Deptula's Road Rage at Twin Peaks this Thursday for some awesome food, drinks, and of course the scenic views. Get sports delivered to you like only Walt can do. And enjoy the cold beer and the HD TVs live this Thursday at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
Welcome to Bose!
Mondays can seem like the zombie apocalypse. People are staggering around mumbling.
Coffee.
More sleep.
and most places seem completely abandoned. With one exception.
Welcome to Moe's!
Every Monday at Moe's is filled with life as friends listen to killer tunes, catch up on the weekend, and enjoy their awesome burrito or burrito bowl made with 20-plus fresh ingredients, not to mention the free chips and salsa. So see you next Moe Monday. Unless you like hanging out where it's kind of dead.
William Nichols here from Scores Jewelers in Anderson. If you know us here at Scores, you know that we don't have store-wide sales very often. Actually, only once in the last 3 years. But I have decided to close our current showroom and liquidate our entire inventory in order to build a brand new store that we will move into early this spring. So now, save up to 70% off during our huge store closing and moving sale here at Scores. Save 20 to 70% off engagement rings, colored stone jewelry, watches, and even Pandora. Every item must be sold to make room for new designers and new lines that we will have in our new location. But for now, come get to know us and take advantage of what we believe may be the lowest prices offered in the upstate. Save up to 70% off during our huge store closing and moving sale here at Scores Jewelers in Anderson. I'm William Nichols, and I want to be your jeweler.
Scores Jewelers, between Old Navy and Pier 1 Imports, Anderson.
Vehicle repairs can be a painful experience, from shops that overcharge to mechanics who don't know what they're doing. My Garage by Essex, with over 100 years of combined experience, is that vehicle repair shop you've always wanted. Specializing in computer diagnostics and engine repairs, with a strong focus on preventative and scheduled maintenance, suspensions, brakes, heating and cooling. Call or stop by My Garage by Essex on Highway 93 in Clemson, 633-5800.
Protect your hard-earned wages and bank accounts from IRS levies by calling the Green Law Firm. If the IRS has contacted you regarding past due taxes, be proactive and call David Green. With over 30 years of experience, the Green Law Firm will find the right solution for your tax problem. The sooner you call, the sooner you can have the peace of mind you deserve. Call 271-7940 for a free strategy session. That's 271-7940. Or go online at greenlaw.legal.
South Carolina driver's licenses and IDs are changing. The South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles is now accepting documents for you to change your current card to a federally approved Real ID. All of the following must be true for you to be eligible to buy a Real ID license online next year. Required documents on file with the SCDMV. Driving privileges and good standing. A regular Class D, E, F, M, or any combination of the four license, and a U.S. citizen. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about changing your card. Start the process now and save time later.
So, who did you wake up with?
Ah! It's the Mickey Plyler Show.
On WCCP.
105.5 The Roar.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show. We told you in hour number one that Rich Rodriguez gone at Arizona. And according to Arizona's website on Rivals.com, Matt Go AZ Cats. Or Go AZ Cats is their website. Matt Moreno is the guy that runs this. He's saying, here's the board. Give me a little biggie over there. What would it cite you? Ready? Arizona hot coaching board biggie. All right, everybody knows the rules. Kevin Sumlin. Butch Jones. Mark Helfrich. Lane Kiffin.
The ladies in the place with style and grace. Allow me to lace these.
Is that more than someone?
In your bushes.
Yep.
Who rock grooves and make
Troy Calhoun, head coach of the Air Force.
No, come on now.
Greg Schiano. Sing us a song, the Schiano man.
He got a terrible shake at Tennessee.
He did, man. He got screwed. Who'd be a better football coach in Tennessee, Greg Schiano or Jimmy Pruitt?
I know, Pruitt impressed the heck out of me on Monday night.
He's playing five stars. Can't coach. I coach those guys. How about this one? Les Miles.
No. That guy's done coaching.
Their current defensive coordinator, who was at Boise State? Marcel Yates.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him.
Never.
And then finally, Southern Cal offensive coordinator T. Martin. That's it.
Don't care.
All right, now give me this one then. Between Kevin Sumlin. And Lane Kiffin. You'd hire Lane Kiffin?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this.
10 out of 10 times.
Let me ask you this. If Rich Rodriguez got fired for sexual harassment, how could you hire Lane Kiffin?
Have you read into any of that?
He vehemently denies it.
Yeah. Took a polygraph, passed it. They still fired him.
I hate that. If he's innocent. I hate that. To me, sexual assault on someone or sexual harassment on someone, that's bad.
Is it harassment or harassment?
Well, you can harass someone, but I always say in the adding the different type in the sentence structure, whatever, harassment is what I say. You?
Harassment.
Really?
Like most other people.
No. I think most people say harassment.
No. Harassment. Please stop harassing me.
No. It's two different ones, like pecans and pecans.
Yeah.
The little nut that's on the tree. What is that?
It's a pecan.
Okay. What kind of pie is it?
It's pecan pie.
When you put it in ice cream and it's butter, what?
Butter pecan.
No.
No, it's butter pecan.
Right. Why?
I don't know.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think if you harass someone, you'd be caught for harassment.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Heck, you're asking me how to talk?
But my question is, what comes back to it, why are you firing a guy who you gave a polygraph, he passed it, he's denied it, they're not done investigating it from what I understand.
Yeah.
You're just letting him go before it's all said and done? Are you looking to get rid of him in the first place? Is that what this is?
Maybe. There were some rumors or some say that going around that he was going to be fired no matter what, but you've done that before a bowl game.
Before your recruiting, earlier your signing period.
Yeah. How would you like to be an Arizona signee thinking you can play for Rich Rodriguez? Now you're not going to play for Rich Rodriguez. Part of it is that let me ask you this, and this is bad to say. He's 43-35 at Arizona.
If you sign a letter of intent on early signing day to go to Arizona, and then the coach you sign with gets fired, you should be able to leave.
I agree with that. They do that in basketball.
Yeah.
They don't do that in football for some reason.
No.
I don't know why that's the case, but that's how that is. At Arizona, I would have thought it would have worked. He went 8-5, 8-5, 10-4, and lost in the Fiesta Bowl. And the last 3 years, 7-6, 3-9, 7-6. He is 17-21 the last 3 years at Arizona. Michigan, I can explain Rich Rodriguez. I knew Rich Rodriguez pretty well when he was here at Clemson. And I can remember I was sitting in his office. This is when his office was over at Jervey before they went to West End Zone. And he interviewed at Texas Tech. And I was like, you going? He goes, no way, not leaving. Because we weren't impressed with Lubbock. And he was in the middle of nowhere, didn't think he could recruit to Lubbock. So he turned that down. And he did the right thing because a year later, whatever, he was the head coach at West Virginia, his alma mater. This is a perfect example, Zach, of the grass is not always greener. And oh, by the way, he turned down the Alabama head coaching job. He agreed to it in a New York City hotel room. They didn't sign him then. He went back to West Virginia. They talked him out of it. And then they had to go with Mike Price or one of those other yoo-hoos they went with, whoever, Shula, whoever they had to go with as a result. But now, let me give you the West Virginia numbers. You ready for this? Do you remember him being really, really good?
Yes.
Okay. At West Virginia, after coming off the Clemson deal, he gets a job at West Virginia. 3-8, taking over Don Nealon. You know what? You know, kind of deal there. 9-4, finished 20th in the country. Lost in Continental Tire Bowl. 8-5, lost in Gator Bowl. 8-4, lost in Gator Bowl. And then how about the last 3 years at West Virginia? Now he's got the system in there. Get a little Pat White, get a little 10-5. It's a little Slayton as a running back.
Steve Slayton, yeah.
Slayton and White.
Oh, man. What a backfield.
I went to this to the Sugar Bowl that year. They played Georgia? Yeah. And I kept saying 10-5, 10-5. Can't stop 10-5. Anyway, last 3 years at West Virginia, 11-1, 5th in the country, winning the Sugar Bowl. 11-2, 10th in the country, winning the Gator Bowl. 10-2, 9th in the country, took him to the Fiesta Bowl. He took the job at Michigan. He takes over for Lloyd Carr, who was terrible. Lloyd Carr, his last year, didn't recruit the last couple of years because he knew he was leaving, and he lost Chad Henne and Long and Mario Manningham and who was a Hart? Yeah, the all-time leading rusher, passion receiver, and the staff knew they weren't coming back, so they didn't recruit a whole lot, so they left him with nothing. 3-9, 5-7, 7-6. It was turning around at Michigan. And on top of that, Lloyd Carr had an office right across the street from the football offices, and he was interfering in the program and all kinds of stuff. It was a disaster. Shouldn't have been it. But the grass wasn't greener at Michigan. He should have stayed at West Virginia. Comes back, goes to Arizona a year later, and I thought we'd turned it around 3 years, but really the last 3 years he didn't do it. 6 years there, and it didn't work out for him. And then this other stuff happens. But, man, he had it rolling at West Virginia. Agreed really? To take the Alabama job, and then backed out of that. He's the hottest coach in the country one time.
Yeah.
Did he turn down South Carolina last year?
Allegedly, no.
I don't know. Anyway, that's a great example of, man, why you don't always jump at the next job, you know? Don't always just...
Michigan's a better job than West Virginia.
Yeah, but Michigan, in those circumstances, wasn't as good. Because I... Wasn't ranked any time, only had one winning season, went to one bowl game, and he left a top 10. He was in the top 10 3 straight years, 5th, 10th, and 9th.
Those are some good teams.
Oh, man, they were great teams. And had shoelaces up there at Michigan, but never could get it going.
Old Denard Robinson.
Yeah, never could get it going. Brad Hughes is my Allstate agent. He can get it going. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. I'm a good hands with Allstate. I can call him at 292-3001. I can email him bradhughes@allstate.com. Get in touch with him, bradhughesinsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to my great friend Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Well, I know that my rates, my coverage, everything couldn't be better. If you make one phone call, call Brad Hughes, 292-3001. We forgive someone in sports every single day. Today, I'm going to forgive Kevin Stallings, head basketball coach at Pittsburgh. You see what he said last night up at Louisville? His team was getting beat and getting beat convincingly as the clock wound down. And some fans there got on him about his team, and he defended his team by saying, quote, let me find the exact quote here, at least we don't have to pay our players $100,000. I'm sorry. Yeah, at least don't pay our players $100,000. We'd have to pay our guys $100,000, though. Said it twice to the folks.
Oof.
Afterwards, he was asked about the exchange. He said, somebody said something bad about my players. I'm going to stick up for my players. Probably said the wrong thing, but I'm not going to let people talk crap about my players. We're down. The game's over with. You don't need to insult my kids who are trying to fight hard to do their best. So, like I said, I probably should have chosen different words, but I'm not going to let people take a shot at my players. Good, bad, and different. You know what? I don't think coaches need to react to fans. Now, in this case,
I got no problem. I like it.
You do like it.
I always like a little Louisville bashing.
A little who bashing?
Louisville bashing.
You know, man, I can kind of see it. I can kind of see some of that. All right. We finish things up as we always do with our 2-minute drill.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the 2-minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, here's Mickey.
Mickey, it's cold outside. It's cold. It's 23 degrees outside right now. And it comes to South Carolina in January. It is 39 degrees over in Juneau, Alaska. Why does that matter to you? Because Alaska was admitted to the Union in 1959 on this day. The 49th state, not a big deal. It's a little statehood celebration of Alaska today.
Hold on. How cold is it here?
It is 23 here.
How old is it in Juneau, Alaska?
39 out there. We are colder than Alaska at the moment.
No, I don't get
the capital of Alaska is warmer than Clemson, South Carolina.
Honest to goodness. I don't know what year you said. I don't know what you said after it. In my head, I was thinking... it's 39 there, it's 23 here, 39 there, 23 here. Yeah, something about a statehood or something today or something?
Yeah, the 49th state.
Oh, all right. Oh, I got you now. But I didn't get the 49. All I got was 23 and 39 or whatever. Ralph Patterson sent me this morning. This is pretty interesting. That it was on this day in 1973 that CBS sold the New York Yankees to a 17-person syndicate headed by George Steinbrenner. $10 million is what he paid for the Yankees. Now you pay that to relief pitchers.
You know what we paid for Alaska?
No.
$7.9 million from Russia.
That's it.
A little over 2 cents an acre.
That's it.
And that's it.
To the warmest part of our country right now.
Yeah.
Like that in Hawaii. Like, this is two beautiful places. Eric Newton, for all your real estate needs. This is my good friend, EricNewton.com. I spent time with Eric and Jessica and his four beautiful daughters, man, down at the... down in New Orleans, had a great time. Those are good folks. My 2 minute drill is, we didn't talk enough about it today. Clemson, a 5-point favorite tonight against Boston College. 6:30 pregame show. 7 o'clock is the tip from up at Chestnut Hill. And the first time that Brad Brunell has ever coached a ranked basketball team. So looking forward to that. Let me thank caller sponsors, listeners, texters, tweeters, emails.